The administrative assistant. The administrative assistant will please call the roll.
Chairman Grimsley.
Here.
Senator Rader. Senator Baxley.
Here.
Senator Farmer. Senator Huckel. Senator Mayfield.
Here.
Senator Powell. Senator Roussan.
Here.
Senator Stubbe. Here. A quorum is present.
Thank you. Members, first, let me just say that Senators Farmer and Rader have an excused absence from today's meeting, and we're going to go first to tab 2 and take up Senate Bill 1576 by Senator Stubbe. Senator Stubbe, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Florida currently has no requirements for animal sheltering facilities who receive lost cats or dogs to try and return lost dogs or cats to their owners. This became an issue after Hurricane Irma. There was a number of people whose dogs or cats got loose and lost, and some shelters, one close to my area in the neck of the woods, was actually putting dogs down within a day of receiving them, and they were actually owned by folks. So what this bill does is just requires any humane societies or shelters to put some type of policy in place that they would check the chips on the dog or do some type of due diligence to ensure that the dog's not owned by somebody before they euthanize. That's the bill.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. Members, any questions on the bill? Senator Roussan.
Thank you very much. Senator Stubbe, I certainly understand the policy behind this bill, and I support it. But does this create any legal liability on the part of the shelter?
You're recognized.
I don't believe it does, but let me look. I think it's just a requirement that they do it.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes.
Follow-up?
I'm sorry. I have a question on the amendment.
Okay. Any other questions on the bill?
I have a question.
Senator Huckel.
Just to follow up on Senator Roussan's concern, has staff taken a look at that issue? I mean, we probably couldn't resolve it today, but you may have a situation where if you take control that you have a duty, some sort of duty. So have we looked at it or not? Follow up?
You're recognized.
Yeah, I'm not looking for a penalty. There may be a duty, which is very, very different.
I didn't hear the response.
Excuse me? She said there's no penalty. I said it's not a penalty I'm asking about. A duty would be different.
So it doesn't even go to a...
than a penalty.
All goes through.
Okay. I don't know that this committee is the one to make that decision. Senator Huckel, I was looking at the references now, and it doesn't go to judiciary or any of those committees, but it does go to rules and community affairs, so that might be a more appropriate place to take a look at that.
Might be something
that issue.
The sponsor might look at then.
Yeah. Okay, there's also an amendment on the desk. It's barcode 176710 by Senator Stubbe. Senator Stubbe, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment clarifies that judges may prohibit those convicted of animal cruelty from having contact with animals as a sentencing condition. Quote, in addition to other penalties prescribed by law, the court may issue an order prohibiting a person who is convicted of a violation of this section from owning, possessing, keeping, harboring, or having any contact or custody control of an animal for a period of time determined by the court. One of the challenges has been those have been convicted of animal hoarding or animal abuse. There's nothing preventing them whenever they, after being convicted of that and they serve their time, there's nothing preventing them from going back and getting more animals and having more situations where there could be an abuse. So if the judge wants to impose another duty or in the sentence that they can't possess animals, this would allow them to do that.
Okay, and there is an amendment to the amendment. It's barcode 475346.
That just deletes lines 5 through 6. Okay. That's all it does.
Is there any questions on the amendment to the amendment?
Madam Chair.
You're recognized, Senator Roussan.
Thank you. Senator Stubbe, as a condition of probation, cannot this already be accomplished?
Not from what I've been told, no.
Follow up. If a judge sentences someone to a fine or to incarceration and follows it with probation, isn't the court free to craft conditions of probation?
They're not permitted currently to be able to restrict their ownership of animals, which is why this bill and this amendment is necessary.
Any other questions on the amendment to the amendment? Okay, we do have a public appearance cards on the amendment to the amendment. I have Kate McFall with the Humane Society. Okay, waves in support. And Jennifer Hobgood with the Director of State Legislation in the Southeast Region for ASPCA. You're recognized.
Is this on? Thank you. I believe that judges do sometimes issue orders of no animal contact as a sentencing condition. However, oftentimes they don't. And having this language in the animal cruelty statute, 828.12, will clarify that judges can issue those. We've had a situation recently in Flagler County where someone showed up at the shelter to do their community service at the animal shelter, and they had been convicted for throwing a kitten out of the window of a moving vehicle. So luckily, the shelter chose to follow up and check this. But this will just clarify that those sorts of things should not happen, and so it will protect a lot of animals from real harm, from people who have a proven record of harming animals. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
And then we have Chief Keith, I think it says Touchberry with Fellsmere?
That's correct. The FPCA waves in support.
Thank you. Waves in support. Okay, is there any debate on the amendment to the amendment? Without objection, shall the amendment to the amendment adopted? We are back on the amendment as amended. Are there any questions on the amendment as amended? Senator Huchel.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. The amendments to the amendment, not the amendments to the amendment, but the amendment actually changes the severity of the crime. Isn't that correct? To the bill sponsor.
Yes, it reclassifies the sentencing level for violations of aggravated animal cruelty in the criminal punishment code from a level 3 to a level 5 violation, which provides more appropriate judicial discretion in sentencing those who commit the crime.
Follow up?
Go ahead.
What is it? Where is that language with regard to a felony 3? Is it?
952.
Of the amendment.
Yeah, that's just rewording.
I see. Yeah, because it said guilty of a striking third degree and a felony of a third degree. So it doesn't change that part of it. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any public testimony on the amendment as amended? Is there any debate on the amendment? Senator Stubbe, you're recognized to close on your amendment as amended.
Wave close.
All those in favor of the amendment, say yay.
Yay.
Any opposed? Show that amendment adopted. Okay, we're back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions, members, on the bill as amended? Senator Powell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Stubbe, just to clarify, looking through the bill, there's an intensity increase in terms of the crime, but there's no, it does not create any new felonies, right? It's just, it rewords it, but there's nothing new in there.
Correct. It still would be a third-degree felony.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Okay, we do have some public testimony. I have Jack Corey with Fix Florida. Waves in support. Thank you. Diana Ferguson with the Animal Law Section of the Florida Bar. Waves in support. Kate McFall with the Humane Society again. Waves in support. And Jennifer Hobgood. Waves in support. Any debate on the bill as amended? Okay. Senator Stubbe, you're recognized to close.
Wave close.
Administrative Assistant will please call the roll on committee substitute for Senate Bill 1576.
Senator Baxley?
Yes.
Senator Farmer? Senator Huchel?
Yes.
Senator Mayfield? Senator Powell?
Yes.
Senator Roussan?
Yes.
Senator Stubbe?
Yes.
Senator Rader? Chair Grimsley?
Yes. And by your vote, show committee substitute for Senate Bill 1576 reported favorably. Now we'll move back, members, to tab 1. And we have a presentation this morning by the Future Farmers of America. We have with us Kyle Garner and Kaylin Kleckner, and they are here to give us a presentation on the next generation of agriculturalists. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chairman, for allowing us to be here today and speak with you guys about our passion and love for the agriculture industry and for the FFA. My name is Kyle Garner, and I serve as the Florida FFA State President, and with me today is Kaylin Kleckner, the Florida FFA State Secretary. We also have with us the rest of our state officer team, Mitchell Singleton, the Area 1 State Vice President, Robbie Sistrunk, the Area 2 State Vice President, Taylor Proctor, the Area 3 State Vice President, and Ari Fry, the Area 5 State Vice President. And also with us, we have Chancellor Rod Duckworth, Chancellor of Career and Adult Education, and Mrs. Belinda Chasen, Director of Educational Affairs. I can think back to that very first moment when I stepped into my agriculture class on that first day of middle school. Attending a middle school where I really didn't know anybody was definitely scary, but it was in that moment when I stepped into that agriculture class that I immediately felt at home, surrounded by individuals who all shared that same love and passion for FFA and for agriculture. And that is a feeling that we want every student in the state of Florida to be able to experience.
Humanity's greatest challenge is feeding a global population that will jump to nearly 10 billion individuals in the next 35 years. To accomplish this, as well as alleviate the hunger that strikes nearly 1 billion individuals today, agricultural production will have to increase by 70% by the year 2050, not to mention with less water, less land, and fewer of other resources. The solution to these problems will require agriculturalists to rapidly increase production while ensuring that the very resources that make farming possible are not depleted. But this is about a lot more than farming. This is about the next generation of agriculturalists on which we will rely on, and the new age of discovery which they will lead.
In order to develop our future workforce, our organization and educational programs address a very key issue: the growing need for young, talented individuals to pursue embarking on a career in the food and agriculture industry. Today, we want to share with you our efforts and provide a glimpse into agricultural education here in Florida. The Blue Corduroy Jacket, which represents the student organization we are proud to be members of, is a small portion of a comprehensive strategy that is used to reconnect people with agriculture, teach others where the food comes from, and inform people the importance of the agriculture industry.
Our organization was founded in 1928 with just 33 original farm boys. Our organization now boasts a membership record of nearly 650,000 individuals across the nation, with 18,000 of those members living right here in the state of Florida. Our mission is to make a positive difference on the lives of our members by increasing their potential for premier leadership, personal growth, and career success. FFA is presumably the most well-known component of agricultural education, but there are actually two more: classroom instruction and supervised agricultural experience projects, all of which are essential for ensuring that our students have a complete experience. Students can choose from 8 different career pathways, which will prepare them for the workforce or college, as well as over 300 different careers. We like to term agriculture education as real-world academics, infusing academic concepts with technical agricultural skills.
In addition to FFA and classroom instruction, students are also required to develop supervised agricultural experiences. Supervised agricultural experiences is an opportunity for a student to develop hands-on experiences and learn skills and knowledge about a certain facet of the agriculture industry. It is through a student's supervised agriculture experience project that they are able to earn various certifications and awards based off of their earnings and the hours they put into these supervised agriculture experience projects. Kayla and I come from two very different backgrounds, with Kayla coming from one that was more urban and myself coming from one that is more rural. But despite these differences, we both had a supervised agriculture experience project throughout our years in middle school and high school. Whether it was raising and showing livestock or managing wildlife, it is through these hands-on experiences that we had the opportunity to take part in that we gained the skills necessary to better prepare ourselves for over 300 different possible careers in the agriculture industry upon graduating from high school. Classroom instruction, FFA, and supervised agriculture experiences make up what we know as agriculture education. But in addition to that, students have the opportunity to earn some of the most rigorous industry certifications out there. It is through these industry certifications that they have the opportunity to be college or career ready while in high school. Upon graduating, they have the opportunity to go directly into a career because of the industry certifications we have to offer.
The gap between the number of professional-level positions in the industry in the coming years and the number of students who will graduate from an agriculture-related discipline is enormous. But our growing pains as an organization is proof that we are closing that gap. We have, for the past 10 consecutive years, broken our annual membership record. We have more students than ever participating in competitive and leadership events, as well as partaking in those experiential projects previously mentioned.
With this, our organization is at max capacity in regards to its opportunities and services we provide to its members. But despite that, we have one of the largest issues is the recruitment and retaining of agriculture teachers in the classroom. And for those teachers that are already in the classroom, they have limited financial resources that truly put a strain on their ability to truly teach their students agri-science education. Together, we face these issues in an effort to tackle a global challenge. The gap is enormous, and the task is dauntless, but we are ready for the challenge. The next generation of agriculturalists is ready for the challenge, and we look forward to continuing to work with tomorrow's leaders.
We would like to sincerely thank you for allowing us to speak on behalf of our organization. We are confident that in the FFA, we can continue to prepare the leaders of today and tomorrow by sparking passion, purpose, action, and change. If you have any questions, we would be happy to answer.
Members, any questions? Why don't you introduce the rest of your members?
So with us is the rest of our state officer team. If they will stand when we say their name, we have the Area 1 State Vice President, Mitchell Singleton, the Area 2 State Vice President, Robbie Sistrunk, the Area 3 State Vice President, Taylor Proctor, and the Area 5 State Vice President, Ari Fry.
Okay, very nice. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Senator Mayfield, you have a question?
Yeah, no, not a question, just a comment. You guys, I have a bill to present in the next committee. Would you guys like to go and do my bill presentation? I'll just say I'm just so impressed of how professional you were and how eloquent and you articulated your mission and what you're doing. And you know, it's really heartwarming. It's heartwarming to see young people getting engaged in something that they love and they do it so well. So thank you for what you do, and you should also thank Senator Grimsley. She has been an advocate for the agricultural community and especially the youth to ensure that we have future farmers out there in mm-hmm. the upcoming year. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Well, we're so proud of you guys, and thank you for doing this. And so, members, they have an appropriation request in with the K-12 budget. So if anybody wants to put in a good word with Senator Pasadomo for them, I think they'd be grateful. They've been here all week working on that issue and going around and talking with the governor and the other cabinet members and meeting with members, trying to educate everyone on what they do. And I'm amazed at how eloquent you are, and we're thankful that we have a group like you. And I told them this morning, they were in my office, that they'll be taking care of us in a few years. So we're excited to watch them grow up and choose career and what career pathway of all those multiple options that you have, which ones that you choose. So thank you for being here, and thank you for your leaders as well.
Thank you.
Madam Chair. Senator Rusan?
Senator
Powell?
I defer to the younger.
Okay, Senator Powell, it's all yours.
I'd also like to echo the sentiments of what my colleagues have said. In Jim Collins' book called From Good to Great, there's a portion that talks about farmers, and you can teach people how to work, but farmers, you know, wake up early, work hard, know what it takes, and a lot of businesses do well when they hire farmers. So I thank you both for being, you know, young, up here advocating, articulating your message very well, and continuing to work hard, and you know, keep us inspired and keep working hard. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Senator Rusan.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And thank you for being here today. I accept the challenge of Chair Grimsley, since I sit on K-12 education appropriations, mm-hmm. to let Chair Pasadomo know of your passion, your interest, and the effect, the good effect that these funds will have. But also, I compliment you. When I was in high school, I was a member of the National Forensic League. We call it the NFL. back then, and I did oratorical interpretation, extemporaneous speaking, and your delivery, your eye contact, your articulation of what you were saying, the facial expressions as you delivered was very noteworthy, and I want to thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
And I think we also ought to recognize Chancellor Duckworth. And did you say Mrs. Chasen was back there too? I don't see her. There she is. Two tireless advocates for FFA. And when I first was elected, I met Belinda, and who got me very interested in what you do in the program. So you wouldn't be where you are without those two individuals sitting back there. So we owe them a lot of gratitude as well. So thank you again for being here today.
Thank you.
Is there any other business to come before the committee? Seeing none, Senator Mayfield moves we adjourn. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.